Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to which we can all say, Amen. Our text is threefold. First, the last words of Luther, or some of his last words, we are beggars, this is true. Second, from Luke 23, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, saying, Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And finally, from our 1 Peter text, But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. As we consider the Word of God today, the first thing I have chosen to talk about is the last words of Luther. We are beggars, this is true. And it is true that in our death, we plead with God, asking that He would have mercy upon us as sinners. We do this in our life as well, when the struggles of life get to us. We should ask at all times that God would forgive and love us, for the whole life of a Christian is one of repentance. Second, we have the last known words of the thief on the cross. He says we are under the same sentence as him. The man, Jesus, has done nothing to deserve what he has. And thirdly, there is the testimony of Peter's epistle that we must be prepared to explain the hope that is in us. I would suggest to you that all these texts involve a description of a life sentence. Now, when we think of the idiom life sentence, we normally think of being imprisoned, incarcerated for life. But this is amazingly like the relationship between the old and the new natures within us, which is held, our new nature is held in this body and the old nature until our death. And what a strange idiom this is, for the life sentence really means incarceration. It really means being trapped until death. It is not about life at all, really. But for we who are in Christ Jesus, this is the moment when we become more fully aware of our eternal life in the midst of our death. Our life sentence begins with the creation, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Because of the fall and the curse, the life sentence is combined with the curse of death. But it is the very Son of God, the Word Himself, begotten of His Father from eternity, that is there at the creation of Adam. Even the first Adam lived on for a time biologically after the fall, but in reality he was also dead in sins and trespasses. God cursed him and us a new sentence, a death sentence. This sentence results in his bodily death, but that is not the final word. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all shall be made alive. In our text, we see the sentence of new life through the word in baptism. Through baptism, the new Adam in us has life, even in the face of the certain death of the body. Or else, its translation, at Christ's return in glory. In a way, the body represents a life sentence upon the old Adam, because the death of the body is not something it can escape. We are indeed trapped until the time of death and new life. The body keeps the old Adam accountable, and we cannot escape our bodies. We cannot escape our reputations. We cannot escape our past. They are liberated at that death, that physical death, when we will no longer have the suffering, sorrows, and tears of this life. They carry with them the wages of sin and eventual death, but the same death means the entry to eternal life for those who are in Christ Jesus. This brings to mind the begging of Luther at his death, Wir sind Bettlern, hoc est verum, which means we are beggars, this is true. Here were truly the struggles, the Anfechtungen of his life. we beg to be with Christ in his mercy. And there are times when we cannot even express the depth of our struggle in this life with sin and faith. Here we need this new life, a new life sentence, a word of hope. So we come to another meaning for life sentence. Here we are in this life, simul justus et peccator, at the same time sinner and saint. Our new Adam and the old struggle with one another. With Paul, we say that we affirm that the law is good, but that we are slaves to sin in bondage to decay, and we affirm in our weakness that we too need a Savior from sin who will liberate us from this body of death. We are as the thief on the cross, under the sentence of death due to our sin and the curse. But what about the sentence of life? It is at the cross that Christ Jesus took upon himself our sentence of death, that he might be for us the word of life. He died in our place, that is true, but what a death it was. His death sentence becomes the sentence of life for us. Not only his crucifixion under the sentence of Pilate, but also his life among us was a great life sentence. It was a sentence by the living Word himself that literally brought us to life. And so we are his living stones. And he speaks to us life sentences, words that promise life. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world, not to condemn the world, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Or what about the epic sentences the King of Glory has for his people at his coronation on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or my God, why have you forsaken me? Or this day you shall be with me in paradise. What are these but sentences of life for the whole world that bring to heaven all who place their trust in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior? Jesus takes the penalty of our just death sentence that he might speak on our behalf the life sentences. The accuser comes, Satan means to prosecute, but we have the advocate who speaks in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He speaks for us the forgiveness of sins and the sentence of life everlasting. This is the fearful hope that we are ready at all times and in all places to confess with reverence and respect. This is the life sentence we have for others, others who need to hear of eternal life and the hope that the sinful nature is indeed finite, but God's mercy for the sinner who trusts in his Son, Jesus Christ, is boundless and abundant. And ultimately, there is, in the very carrying out of the curse against our fallen Adam, in the very slaying of our old nature by which our new nature is liberated from its life sentence in this body to be united with Christ in a true sentence of life, in the judgment and bodily resurrection of the dead, a real liberation from our sentence with sin. It is there that the life sentence of resurrection of the dead will be heard, when with the same clarity as with Lazarus, with the same prophetic cry as in the valley of the dry bones, Jesus will call to us by the resurrection of the dead to the final judgment with the command to come forth. And what will be the life sentence given to those who believe, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? This is, therefore, what we should answer to those who would ask us of our faith. We are under the same sentence of death as those who do not believe. We are in our old nature where we contend with sin, death, and the devil. But in the new creation, we are under a sentence of life by grace through faith, spoken on our behalf by our Savior Jesus Christ through baptism and eternal life. Our death and its corruption are not our final estate. Rather, what is proper to us is the new life that goes on forever in the bodily resurrection and life with Christ. His death sentence at the cross was truly the sentence of death, truly the death of death for us, that lands us safe on Canaan's shore. It is by this sentence of life that we can live our lives in reverent fear, ready to give answer that we are sinners who have found a new life in Christ, who have indeed been rescued through the blood of the Lamb, whose life sentence has been commuted through the work of the Savior, and who have new life by his taking the sentence we deserved at the cross. In this way, Christ truly speaks a sentence that brings life, forgiving us from the cross. And so what appears to be a sentence of death at the cross is in fact the sentence of our life, hope, and peace. And the death of the believer is for us but the labor pains of the full and free eternal life with Christ Jesus our Lord, a Lord in whom neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and in whom all things truly do work for the good of those who believe in Christ Jesus. Amen.